This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Frank Castagnetti of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Renewing Our Spirit, was delivered on January 17th, 2021. Here now is Pastor Frank.
Trust in you. Just give the church wisdom and how to use your money. And we just like to give you all the praise in your son's mighty, loving name, Jesus. Amen.
All right, am I on? There we are. Good job. Good morning, New Hope. How is everybody doing? Pretty good, pretty good. Hey, so let's see. First time I'm looking. All right, good. We got folks coming. That's nice. I'm glad to see that folks are feeling a little comfortable to be able to come out and visit. And like we were seeing in our trivia about leaving the 99, that remember that 99 that represents us is that if we're able to gather, then it allows us pastors and you folks who have other callings on your heart to be able to go out there and chase down that lost or that unbeliever or the person who doesn't know yet. It allows them that this place, as the body of Christ, as the 99 that are the stronghold, we can draw on that support and that energy and that encouragement to go out and do the good work that we have. But that also applies to those of us in this body that we're going out, because those of us that still know the Lord still have struggles. So, you know, as we're hearing about Genesis, and you know, there's relationships in this church that are going through, you know, it's a season of bumps. You know, there's folks that have had losses, just you name it. You know, they've lost jobs, they've lost family members, they've lost home, they've lost, just fill in the blank. There's loss around us, and we're not immune to that. We're not immune to those struggles. So if we can just remember that meeting is a really good way for us to come together and charge ourselves, to recharge that emotional cup that we all need to refill, because it gets used. You know, it's a gas tank, that it's not perpetual. We've got to fill it. And so on my message, it's entitled Renewing Our Spirit. And I was kind of bouncing around, but I'm going to just kind of roll into this. In developing this message, I found myself reflecting back over many years. I was just, for whatever was going on, it was just kind of one of these go backwards kind thing. And not just a few years, like way, you know, 10, 15 years in my walk. And I began wrestling with what, at least for me, seemed to have been a common occurrence. And as I thought about it, it dawned on me that usually, way back, you know, or come each Sunday, I wouldn't do my personal devotions. And my thinking and my rationalization was kind of like this: I can skip out today because I'm going to church and I'm going to hear the message anyway, so it's going to balance out. And that was my thinking, and it sort of makes sense, but it doesn't, right? And so, you know, I came to that conclusion. I knew I wasn't correct in my thinking, and therefore my practice come Sundays. And I could stand up here and talk about I experienced this big, great movement in the Holy Spirit that, you know, kind of convicted me, or there was a, you know, mighty revelation about, hey, you got to be diligent in doing your devotions. But what happened was quite the opposite, and this has happened to me throughout my life when these things occur, that it's that quiet, gentle, encouraging voice that's a whisper. And if I'm not quiet, I miss it. So I have to slow myself down, and I'm one of those write a list, A-driven personality, go kick in doors, look around, get in, get out kind. It's almost counter for me to have to sit and slow myself down and listen, right? Hearing, we hear a lot of stuff, but are we listening, yeah? And what I heard being said to me was, Do you not want to hear how much I love you today? Are you trying to avoid my encouragement? Do you not need protection for you on this day? Those kinds of things. Just that, hey, I really want you to hear what I wrote for you in this love letter, right? Because the Bible is letters to each of us, to our heart and to our spirit. It's God writing on our hearts. And that's why it's a beautiful thing of that we go through this Bible reading plan each year. And every time you go back and you read something, you go, wow, I never picked that up till just now. That's why that self-revelation through the Holy Spirit is so powerful. And that we get to go back and read this thing. Unlike a movie that we see and we love to watch, or your kid's favorite book that they want you, read it again, mommy, read it again, daddy, auntie, uncle, grandma, grandpa. Those endings never change. Those stories don't change. But when we reread the letter from God to us on that day, we get something different, a little bit different each time. So that light bulb went on, and the realization was that I wasn't really fully allowing or putting on the armor of God, which he wants me to do. I wasn't fully letting that Holy Spirit come into me in that day, and that I was missing out on what God wanted to tell me. So I decided that quite possibly there might be other people like me out there who experienced the same things. So then I'm like, well, what am I going to do with this? And I kind of left it alone, and then God said, well, write about it. So what I did was I crafted today's message around today's readings, for those of us who might not have read today's readings. So this is right out of the daily reading plan. It's simple stuff. If you ever got to do something, this is one way to do it, right? So what I did was I basically maintained that rough soap outline, you know, scripture, the object of what's going on, the assessment, or you know, what's applicable today, and then my prayer for each of the scriptures that I wrote up for today. So of course, I've got a little bit of the historical perspective right out of scripture and a reflection on how it can apply to us today. So number one, but he said, peace be to you. Do not be afraid. Your God and the God of your father has given you treasure in your sacks. Your money was in my possession. This is out of Genesis 43:23. So the story in chapter 42 is about Joseph, we were reading, right? Who's now he's governing Pharaoh's household and his land. And then his brothers come into town, and they came to purchase food during a famine. And Joseph is meeting his brothers for the first time since they sold him into slavery many years ago. Joseph recognizes them, but they don't recognize him. Thanks, Doc. I can hear that a little bit. But they only see Joseph as the master with the power of life and death over them. They're scared. And Joseph, he tests them a little bit and sees what's going on. So he accuses them of being spies. And after some tense conversations back and forth and negotiating, you're a spy. No, we're not. We came to buy food. No, you didn't. You're trying to see how you can break in here and steal what's not yours. They finally purchase the food that they came for. And then they go back home, and they're starting to unload the food. And then as they open the sack, say, of grain, they discover the money that they had brought to buy the food was returned to them covertly. They didn't know this till they got home and started to unload. So they're wondering what's going on and how did this happen and what's going on, and they're just lost. In chapter 43, the brothers return back to Egypt to buy more food and again talk to Joseph. And one of the things they were going to try to figure out was, where'd the money come from? So as we step back for a moment, there were several things going on. The brothers brought enough money to purchase food, and it was true. They weren't there to spy. It was a famine. They had the money to buy some food, take care of the family and the flocks and all the animals. So they went to get the purchase the food outright. But Joseph gave them the food for free. They didn't know this yet. But then they discovered their money only upon returning home and unpacking it. And initially they were afraid because they believed that they didn't pay for the food and they'd be branded as thieves, and then they'd be cursed by God, and then there'd be other consequences. You know, Pharaoh would send his troops out to get them, all these other things. So when they went back to see Joseph, they wanted to discuss finding the money that was stashed in the food. So the scripture specifically deals with the money, but also the larger message in the transaction. Setting aside what Joseph did with their money, which was to collect it, then secretly and anonymously return it, the larger message here is God gives us what we cannot buy. We may think through our work, and then we have funds or skills and abilities to go and get something, but there's times where God is always looking out for our best interest. He not only sees our specific situation, but that larger picture as well. And when we have faith in his plan, and we're not fearful, or we don't let fear overcome us into stagnation, God is able to move and impact us in ways we can't imagine, and in ways we don't deserve. They had the money. They didn't deserve to get it. It should have been just a simple transaction. We need food. Here's the money. All good. Thank you. We're out of here. But Joseph was immensely blessed, and he was covered by God since his captivity and enslavement. We see that all through this. Joseph gets sold into slavery. He holds on to God's plan, and God elevates him. So Joseph's in a position to exact revenge, or he could heap a blessing on his family. He chose to bless and renew his family's spirit. Number two, I'll read this. It's Psalm 5. In the morning, Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I will present my prayer to you and be on the watch. Make them pay, God. Have them fall by their own schemes. Scatter them with the multitude of their wrongdoings, for they are rebellious against you. But rejoice, all who take refuge in you. Sing for joy forever, and may you shelter them, that those who love you, your name, may rejoice in you. For you bless the righteous person, Lord. You surround him with a favor as a shield. So each day we're encouraged to give up a prayer of thanks. And it's motivating that I do mine right when I wake up. Literally, the alarm goes off, and I kind of stretch and roll there, and I just take a moment, close my eyes, take a few breaths, and like Brother Walt said earlier, I'm on the right side of the pavement for the moment. And it's like, all right, I'm up, taking, you know, stock of the aches, pains, owies, and stuff, but also like, thank you, Lord. There's something you've got me going today, and I either think I know what it is, or if not, you know, make it clear for me so I don't stumble around. But I thank him for the day. I thank him for the opportunity to bring glory to his kingdom, even though I don't know necessarily what it might be. Thank you for the gift of the present today so that I can see what will unfold. And if I'm totally honest, it takes my mind off the fact the alarm went off and I got to get up and I got to get going and I'm tired still or whatever's going on. But it'll change my perspective right then. And just go, all right, Lord, you woke me up here. I don't see gold under my feet, and I don't see angels, and there's no big gate. So I guess I have some other work to do. So it's a perfect reframe and a chance to use what Pastor Scott always encourages us when he says, I get to. Fill in that blank. So what I like about Psalm 5 is it's an honest prayer about our enemies and the troublemakers out there who are somehow involved in bringing us grief every day. And as I read Psalm 5, it rang true as I thought about it. Have them fall by their own schemes. You know, you just want to wait there and see that big wheel come whipping around and go, ho, cracks right there. Doesn't always happen. Every now and then we do. But you know, they basically get what they deserve. The lesson comes through. You get to see that. They get what they deserve. And since the enemy seems to be surrounding us on all corners, at least we know where he's at, right? Praying that they would be scattered also seems a great request. Scatter them. Just spread them out there. If they're not together, they're all spread out. Less damage they can do. But then I have to take a breath. I have to calm myself down. Because we all know our life as a Christian is going to be filled with trials and tribulations. We're told that. We know that openly, that our life is going to have problems. We're going to be attacked. Weapons are going to be formed. They just don't have an effect. But when you see that weapon being sharpened, when you hear that tone in someone's voice, when you see that look in there, a weapon is being, and you're like, right? And you get a little fearful. We just don't want to freeze there. So we know that the battle belongs to the Lord, and in his strength we're victorious, right? In his strength, in our weakness, he's strong. And the last part of the psalm is fitting so we can refocus back to God's throne, that we win as we sing praises. We win when we worship. We are sheltered under his wings of protection, and we can find comfort and joy in his holy name, knowing that he shields us. He leaves the 99 to come for us. And one of my first thoughts after reading that psalm was that of the Marine Corps part of me, of planning a tactical mission to destroy the bad guys out there. I'm like, right here, it's an order. It's pretty clear. I figured that God, sometimes he's a little busy, so he might ask me to jump in and lend a hand. No problem, I'm all good. We'll fire up and go, right? And we may find from time to time a calling to stand up and take direct actions. However, the flip side's also true, but probably mostly true. It's more true than I really want to admit, because I'm a guy of movement and action, but that God wants us to trust him. He wants me to trust him and to hold on to our faith in Jesus. Yeah, honey, we were talking about this on the ride over. We have faith. Not everybody has that. But that we need to look to him and call again on the Holy Spirit for intervention. We're human. We have strong feelings that emerge when we've been wronged, we've been hurt, we've been injured. God knows this very well. I have a suspicion he suffered some of that too. He's walked that walk as we're in. Maybe it's better to trust in the Lord with all our heart and not lean on my own understanding. Mostly because he sees everything, and I'm kind of narrow-minded at the moment. But when we're upset and we're frustrated and we get a little tunnel-visioned, we probably miss something bigger and far worse as we rush headlong into a battle. So we need to step back, slow down, have a tactical conversation with God. And I'd suggest his battle plan is much more sound than one that I can put together. So moving on, in Luke 17, Jesus is speaking about sin, faith, and duty. Verses 1, 2, and 3 are about sin. We're cautioned not to be the one responsible for another's sinning. Okay, we need to be careful what we're doing, saying, how we're entertaining, and those kinds of things. It seems a little ridiculous to me at times, though, since we all have free choice. So, it's one of those things of like, how come I got to watch what I'm doing when they perfectly can stand on their own 2 feet and make a decision? But it's bigger than that. It's about, in that same sense, leaving that 99 to take care of that one. I have a responsibility for that one, so I don't want to lead someone into an area that is compromising. But the message is deeper. More specifically, it's cautionary. We are not to be ones that lead, encourage, or create an environment for others to sin and stumble. That's pretty self-evident. That makes sense. But also, when we're sinned against, we're instructed to forgive. And, that's a hard road for me sometimes. Hopefully the offending party can take responsibility, apologize, ask for forgiveness. Usually doesn't work out that way. But short of that, we must still forgive them. Because the forgiveness isn't for them, it's for me. And it's for us. It frees us up to keep moving and to keep going and to leave it. The battle is the Lord's, it's not mine. Forgiveness does little for that person. It frees us from being a victim, from being stuck, from being bitter, resentful, and angry. We're sinning. So remember that prayer in Psalm 5, the perspective of trusting God for our battles is key. So in number 3, this is Jesus talking with his disciples. Yeah? It is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to one through whom they come. Don't be the stumbling block, Frank. It's better for him if a millstone was hung around his neck and he is thrown into the sea, that he may cause one of the little ones to sin. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. That's Luke 17, 1 through 3. Verses 17 through 19 talk about faith. Jesus had just healed 10 lepers in this verse. And out of that group of 10, it appears Jesus knew 9, or 9 of them knew Jesus, and because they attend synagogue or they know of Jesus, and that this meant they knew little of the true God of Israel and the true source of miraculous healing. So they were going to church, they're going to synagogue there, so they knew to call out to Jesus for healing. We know that those nine, according to the verse, entered and spoke to the priest. So right when they were healed, they went right into the synagogue, talked to the priest. The priest told them, be quiet, don't speak of this Jesus person or how they were healed. They might have even been paid off for their silence in money or position or something else. But the priests, which are basically Sadducees and Pharisees, were in direct conflict with Jesus and his ministry. They were the lovers of money and power. They could not afford to have any evidence of God's power being known to the public. That's where the uprising was coming. However, only one of those 10, a non-believing Samaritan, and remember the story about the Samaritans and the Sadducees, the Pharisees, that the Samaritans were the outcasts in this time. That Samaritan approached Jesus and he praised God for his healing. His honest and faithful declaration set him apart from the others. His faith made his healing complete and true. Jesus responded to him and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. This last reference I chose is also in some sense about the second coming, or more specifically, how we can assure our proper place in eternity. There's quite a bit of information in the second coming in verses 20 through 37, but in the end, all that matters is our choice to follow Jesus. And I like verse 28, which states, as in the time of Lot, people were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. A lot of that's going on now. Typical day, kind of what we're going through. And like Lot, we were warned of the pending destruction, and we've been given clear instructions on how to survive it. In Lot's case, it was to leave everything and not look back. We know how that worked out for his wife, and that should serve as an example of what we should be doing also. Again, I'm going to reference Brother Walt, yeah? That's the past. That's the future. We don't know. This is today. It's the present. We have to do what we need to today. So each of us at some point asked Jesus to be our Lord and Savior and to cast our sins into that sea of forgetfulness and to grant us through grace, not earned, an eternal spot in his kingdom. And he asked us to take up our cross each day, to lean into him for strength, for protection and encouragement, and to not look back. The past is exactly that. It's gone. It's passed us by. If we plan to work at maintaining once was, to keep a life we readily already admit was problematic, we're going to lose our eternity. However, as we surrender to his plan and his guidance and coverage, we receive eternal life. We have a multitude of opportunities here in this fallen world as he prepares us for his eternal world. We don't want to be that stumbling block for someone else who is struggling and seeking for relief. So whoever strives to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will keep it. So that's a figurative as well as literal thing. We leave that past behind us. God may turn around and find things in there that we were good at, or we ask him about those things that we think about or that we want to do or we enjoy. And God may find provision to grant us that. That's a different perspective already, because it's God ordained, not selfishly chosen on my part. My example would be, I'm into racing, drag racing, not dress in heels. My wife won't let me do that anymore. But at the track. And I did this in my BC days. But when I came to know the Lord and I had a ability to work on vehicles and have things work out fine and do all of that, I said, hey, I want to do this in a manner that brings you glory. I found myself a chaplain with Races for Christ so I can minister to everyone down at the racetrack on the weekends when they're racing and enjoying a hobby of theirs. Majority of them don't know the Lord, but a majority of them ask for prayer when they're strapped in their cars or they're getting ready to do something, and we circle up around the vehicle and we just pray for a safe day. Some would go, "Hey, Pastor, hey, ask the big guy. I got to win this one." I said, "I can't do that." I don't, because then what I'm saying is the other guy got to lose. I don't pray that prayer. I'll pray you're safe. I'll pray that you make it through with the wheels down and the roof up in the right orientation, right? And nothing blows up, and then you got to figure out how you're going to pay for more stuff. That's what I'll pray for. I want the best person in the moment to win. And then when you're done, yeah, I get it. When the light goes, you don't like the other person because you're out there to win. But when it's done, shake hands. So God's made that way for me. You know, so we're still involved in the racing. We have our car. It's getting ready to come out. That was something that was in the past that God's given provision in the present to allow me to do something for his glory and his kingdom in the near future. So we want to give up that old life. If I strove to hold on to things, I'd be battling with God. So when we look at today's scripture readings, I start to see a theme, a story for me that if I kept with my prior practice of skipping the Sunday daily reading, it'd be a tremendous loss. I'd miss out knowing that in Genesis, God tells me not to be afraid. In our Genesis, we have a living example of not to be afraid. Amen? You know, God works really crazy, yeah? I wrote this, and this hadn't passed yet, you know? You know how he does those, yeah? We write these things a while back, but we don't know who this is going to touch when we get up here, so amen to God. He's so beautiful. But also, that he has my treasure safe and sound and ready for me, and that his treasure is freely given because I can't afford the price that Jesus paid. And in Psalm 5, I can cry out in frustration and in anger about what's happening to me or those close to me. And he knows that exact pain and suffering. I can have an honest conversation about my thoughts and feelings of what should happen to my enemies. And he gets it. And in the same time, at that same moment with God, I can gain strength in praising him and take comfort knowing that his shield protects me, my family, and friends. And as I ponder what steps I can take each day, Luke provides encouragement to continue praising him in sickness or in being an outcast who is just healed. I have the power in forgiving others, as we all do, and that there's freedom in not harboring ill will. Lastly, I know trusting in him secures my place in his kingdom, one I never earned, never have, never will, that he will protect and bless me each day. And as I take advantage of opportunities to give my testimony to others and to seek out the lost and give them the same love, comfort, and encouragement that he gives me, sometimes a Samaritan outside as the one. So I want you all to join me in making sure that we get all that he freely offers us each day as we spend time in his word. I'd hate to miss out on what he wants to give me because I thought I found a shortcut through his wisdom. So let's take some time, Father. Father, I thank you for your message, and I thank you for your word, Lord God. And I just thank you for everyone that's here today, Lord God. I thank you for the families that are watching and listening who might hear this message today or later. We praise you, Lord. We thank you. We ask you to cover us and watch over us. The worship team can come up. I hear some of you moving. Thank you. Lord God, we're just forever grateful for your word and that we can meditate on what's in there and go back over and read it and see what you have for each of us on this day and in our heart. We ask you to just watch over us again, to protect us and guide us, to keep us safe. Have us either be the 99 lifting up and encouraging, or if we got to go out and get the one, Lord, that we're bold enough to go and do that. We praise and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Frank. I get a hard time sometimes because I've known him as Chaplain Frank, and now he's Pastor Frank, so I guess we get to have the only Chapster Frank in all of the Big Island. Thank you so much. I don't know if you guys noticed, but Pastor Scott's been walking around in shorts and slippers. Isn't that so wonderful, yeah? You get to do that. Well, why don't we stand and let's take it out, giving God glory this morning. Amen?
Start a fire in my soul, fan the flame and make it grow, so there's no doubt.
You've been listening to Pastor Frank Castagnetti of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kau, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. During this phase of the COVID pandemic, we're recommending that people meet online to avoid potential virus spread. For more information, call us on 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.